Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Well, good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker, and I'm so excited to be here with you once again. I'm here in South Florida, and I have my co-host, Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. I am so excited about tonight's show. I'm coming to you from New Orleans. So I'm excited. I'm in the city enjoying my birthday celebration, but more excited about the show tonight because it's Relationship Month, and we're kicking it off.
Yes, indeed. In behalf of myself and the whole Hot Topics from the Soul team and our listening audience, I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
It is so exciting to turn another decade and then
girl,
to look as fly as we look.
I am so excited. You know, one of our friends, our mutual friend, said to me, she said, sweet 16 is sweet, but sweet 60 is sweeter. I'm like, I'm
yes,
loving
baby. It. You know, Shirley, when I look at kids that are, you know, my children's age and that are young people that are younger than us, and I see how aged they look, and I'm like, I thank God. Thank God for Maybelline, mascara, the dye, and every now and then lifting up a weight.
You know, but we have to, you know, look at there's something in us that seems to be missing in our younger people. And that is the tenacity to remain who we are and true to ourselves. And also try to deal with as less stress as possible so we don't age in the face. And, you know, and as far as our bodies that we've learned over the years, there's some things we just can't do. And so we are more protected of our bodies. And the other things that we do, even though we may not exercise as much as we should, but we try to do some of the things that give us that look of exercise, like taking that extra step in the parking lot or doing little things like our stairs at home instead of just taking a slow walk down and we run up them. Because, you know, a lot of times we're busy and everything, so those little things count. And especially when we're multitasking, we're running a business from home, and then we got to run in and cook dinner or something for our loved ones, and then we got to run back upstairs or downstairs to our computers or whatever, or get that next fax or whatever. But we're moving constantly, so that gives us that exercise that we don't get in the gym. So we're constantly working on ourselves and running through the airport sometimes. So we got our own regimen of exercise going at this age.
Yeah, these things are true. And, you know, this month is Relationship Month, and we always set it off with you, Shirley, because you're the author of a book, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Heart of a Man. And I'm so glad you released that book because there are so many people that have relationship issues. And, you know, Steve Harvey wasn't the first to write a book on relationships. He just has the national exposure because of the fact of who he is. And people were drawn in by the fact that he used to be a player, and they wanted to, and because he started answering women, asking questions, then he just like vaulted off into another plantation, actually, another plane, I meant to say. But really, things that he's saying is nothing different from things that we've heard all the time, or something that we've gotten from a girlfriend or a guy friend. His information isn't new. It's just the way that he presents it and exposes it seems fresh.
Yes. And I think it seems fresh to so many because of his status, and the fact is that a man is saying it. So mm-hmm. it gives it a different spin. But it's nothing new. It's nothing new to it at all. And that was one of the motivating parts of me writing my book, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man, because he gives it to the women from a woman's perspective and everything. But then when it came to actually speaking to the brothers, it kind of left them feeling like, okay, he's telling all the brothers' secrets. But I said, but there's got to be a balance in here. And when the balance where I tried to bring in with my book is that I allow the women to see inside their mind, but also get an understanding of their man, not so much as telling them to act like a man, but get an understanding of the man and be able to communicate with them, and then also bringing it in where the man can get an understanding of his woman, you know, because so often you run into these situations or these couples together and everything, and that communication part is so torn down that they don't even know how to bring it back up, how to build it back, or how to connect again, because it's so disconnected. So instead of saying, act like a woman, you know, think like a woman, but act like a woman, but think like a man, you know, it is kind of really hard to think like a man because you're not in that man's mind. You can, you know, so basically you're acting out still a role. But if you understand that man, then you can just be yourself. You ain't got to think like him. You can be yourself. And because then you have an understanding, then that man can have an understanding of who you are as a woman. So that's why I named it Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. Because so often we as women, we come from the head and the heart together. Mm-hmm. But the man hurts mm-hmm. from the soul. And that's the part that we as women have to understand, in that soul hurting and the healing process that takes place. And the men need to understand that when we act and think a certain way, that it doesn't mean that we're crazy. It means that, you know, we are connecting our heart and our minds together, and then keeping control of that. That's where the discord comes in, when sometimes we as women disconnect. And so the man, sometimes his form of disconnection is when he's hurting in his soul, and then he pulls back and become that island. And when I say that island, that doesn't mean he's alone. That means he starts acting in I category. He forgets the we, the French part, that he's not an island, that no matter what he does, he has a relationship with someone. And the same thing as women. We have relationships. And so the basics of the relationships is getting back to the basics. And that's the communication part, learning how to communicate with each other and get an understanding so there's no misunderstanding. Not saying we're not going to have any, but have a better understanding of how to communicate. And if a woman can communicate with her man, and if that man is willing to communicate with her, the basics.
Yeah, but then here we go. You know, the key to every relationship is communication, which brings me to the title of the show, I Think He Loves Me, and or we can say, I Think She Loves Me. So oftentimes individuals go on their emotions and they start fabricating things in their imagination, their mind, where they feel like, oh, because they're spending a little bit of time with me, taking me out to the dinner and to the movies. But if they've not communicated and said, let's be in a relationship, or how do you feel about being in a committed relationship, you're really not in a relationship, because there's so many relationships that are they have their friends with benefit relationships. Dave Matthews Band says a guy and a girl can be just friends, but at one point or another, they will fall for each other, maybe temporarily, maybe at the wrong time, maybe too late, or maybe forever. What do you think about that, Shirley?
I don't think, you know, with at some point in time, I don't think you're going to fall for each other, because if you know what you want in a relationship, and you could be friends with someone, totally platonic. Now, if there's any feelings as far as do I like this person as more than a friend, do you act on those feelings? That's the key part. Do you act on them? Because an emotion without any action, it dies. There, you got to give it life. So when I say that if you become friends with someone, and at some point you may have different feelings for them, but if you don't act on them, that does die. Because with that, because you have to feed it. And feeding it means acting, going through with some type of physical action. You can't just say the words or have them in your mind. And that's where people get in trouble at. Because then they begin to build a relationship in their head. And there's been no action to feed that. Because they start looking at, okay, we're friends. We do these things together. We do those things together. But is there anything solid in there that you can build on? Don't build on the emotional part. Because a lot of people get hurt when they start building on the emotional part. Then you become, the mind becomes out of control, because your mind starts to build this relationship with someone and they've never given you that physical confirmment. And I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking beyond sex, the intimacy, even if it's touching, if it's holding, or a kiss. It doesn't have to be a kiss that leads to sex. But some type of action has to come into play, and there has to be some words, and you back up those words. Because there are people that, I'll give you an example, they're friends, and they say, I'm going to marry my best friend. And they become intimate, not sexually, because they decided to wait until they got married. But they communicated that. So when you say you could be friends and then somewhere the feelings change, if there's no action behind it, those feelings got to die. Otherwise, they're going to become a mind-controlling situation and cause other issues.
Yeah, but you know, Shirley, a lot of people go through emotional, they have emotional ties with individuals. Sometimes they can build an emotional tie with a person that they've never, ever met. You know, back in the day, they didn't have online dating and stuff, but they had chat rooms where you'd be on the phone. And they used to have promos on television where you can call and talk to the man or woman of your dreams. And so many people got sucked into that, spent thousands upon thousands of dollars, never met individuals, but look forward to that call every single day because there was an emotional attachment. And then they felt that because they didn't have or were physically touching individuals, that it wasn't cheating if they were in a relationship with somebody that was there personally with them. Or I'm talking also primarily about married couples, because that's who used to call these chat rooms. They would form relationships outside. It was their way of escape. And they felt it wasn't cheating because, oh, well, I didn't see her and I didn't sleep with her. But they had emotionally checked out of their homes.
But that is cheating. I mean, that is even taught in the Bible. if a man thinks it, so he does it. So when you're in a committed relationship and you have someone, you're married to them, or rather you're in a committed relationship, if you develop another relationship with someone else that is going to take away from what you have, meaning your commitment to someone else, you talk with this other person on the phone, and you talk yourself out, so then when you get with them, you have nothing to say. You have taken away from your relationship and given it to someone else, whether it be emotionally or physically. You're still cheating. You're cheating them out of a part of you. You're blocking them out. And you can become so emotionally entangled with someone else that you lose your respect and your feeling for the one that you said I do to, or you ask for a commitment from. And it can happen so subtle that you don't even
very
see
subtle.
It happen until it has happened. And then once it's happened, you become, excuse me, in this tailspin. How do I spin my way out of this? And then it becomes a thing where, I think I love them. I think I'm in love with them. Are you in love with an imagination? Are you in love with the fantasy? Because that's the only thing that you have to go on. You can't say, well, I've seen a picture of them. I like the way that you don't know how old that picture is. Or if that's the real person you're talking to. I've seen so many people or heard of so many relationships and marriages broke up all because of a voice on the other line.
Mm-hmm.
And only to find out when they get there, it is not thought it would be. Because their mind has taken over and they, and again, built this whole relationship on the voice of someone on the other end because they were able to say things to them or listen to them without any hesitation in hearing what they have to say. People have to be careful when it comes to stuff like that, especially if you're in any committed relationship, whether you're married, dating someone on a committed level, because you can get so entangled to another person's voice and they laughing at your jokes, they listening to everything you have to say, they never cut you off, and you think about, well, man, he or she, they never listen to me. They never laugh at my jokes. I feel more comfortable. I can say whatever I want to say to this person. Of course you can, because there is no level of commitment there. They have nothing to lose. And really, you have everything to lose. But you don't look at it at that point when you're on that line with that person. You know that you're in a comfortable space, non-inhibited, no commitment. You're free. Everyone wants to feel some form of freedom, even in a marriage. But that freedom comes with the price. There's nothing free. Even when you're in a marriage and everything, that part of freedom is called trust. In order to have that trust, you can't just ask for it. You got to be able to give that other person something to trust in. And that means showing them who you really are. Even if it means telling them the truth and it hurts their feeling, they may get over it, but they would know one thing. I can trust him even if I don't like what he says, even if it hurt my feeling, he did tell me the truth. A lot of people disregard the value of truth. You ever heard that saying, truth will set you free? It does. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yes, it does. So, back to our theme where it says, I think he loves me or I think she loves me. Why do you think that people get so caught off guard and distracted by their thought process?
Because a lot of people are lonely. They're hungry. They're thirsty. And when I say thirsty, don't get me wrong about that. Every person wants to feel love. They want to be loved. So they get to a point where they're reaching. If they've never been loved or if they've been in love and they got hurt, and at some point in their life they want to say, I'm tired. I just want someone to love me. So they begin to say in their mind, what kind of person do I really want? And if they've been in a, say, example, an abusive relationship, someone nice comes along. They're very nice to them. They're attentive. And they listen to them. And they spend time with them. He or she may not say, I love you. But just those few little things there, which are big in a lot of people's lives, the first thought came in their mind, comes in their mind, it must be love.
Mm-hmm.
I think he loves me. I think she loves me. Never has this person said that. Maybe it's that person's personality. Someone easy to love.
Mm. Can you... Well, let me ask it this way. Can you label it cheating if you spend a lot of time at the gym and not with your spouse, or you prefer reading or watching television as opposed to being with your spouse? Is that a form of cheating?
No. Cheating comes when there's two people. If you are alone, and you're doing some things that you like to do, and that long that you should be able to spend some time alone. You need to be able to love yourself enough to spend mm-hmm. some time alone with yourself in order to love someone else fully. If you can't spend any time alone with yourself, how can you really love anyone else? Because you don't even like yourself enough to spend some time alone with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be reading, watching television. I don't like the television part because you're not really alone. There's not a whole lot of meditation in there. But if you go to the gym and work out or something like that, I'm not one that thinks you need to spend 2 or 3 hours at the gym. That's not enough. That's too much workout. Work out with your partner, with your life partner, whether it be your wife, your significant other, whoever. Let that be that time that you spend 2 or 3 hours at the gym. A quick hour workout and come back, that's good. Reading a good book, that's some quiet time. And that's an alone time. Or just meditating alone. But every person should have some alone time. And that doesn't mean you get alone, then you get on the phone with your friends, or you get on the phone with somebody else that you like. That's not alone. Or you invite somebody else over, that's not alone. Alone means alone, not that television either. Because when do you get some serenity? When do you really get to know who you are? Because if you got a distraction, that's not alone. But no, it's not cheating. It's cheating if you access things. It's cheating time,
yeah, it's
valuable.
It's cheating
time
if you emotionally check out.
Right.
That's when the cheating comes. If you emotionally check
that's
out
when cheating.
Of the relationship, that is cheating.
That is cheating. Because I'm like this. If you got to cheat, everyone is grown. Tell the other person, this is who I am. I don't want to be with one person. I like to have, quote, friends or friends with benefits, whatever you want to call it. But be woman or man enough to be straight up. I'm not a one-person person. I like more than one person in my life to fill certain needs in my life. Allow the other person to decide if they want to be a part of that relationship. Don't make that choice for them. That's cheating.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, I'm in a relationship, but one of the things that I did when we first entered into a relationship was, you know, I laid on the table who I was. I laid on the table who my friends were of the opposite sex. And my partner did the same thing, too, because so this is the question. Can you have platonic relationships and it not get in the way of your true relationship?
I would say yes. I say yes because if you have platonic relationships and there is nothing you have to hide or lie about, there's nothing wrong with platonic relationship with the opposite sex. I feel that it, in some cases, it's healthy. And reason why I say it's healthy is because you have that one friend or that's like a sister or brother to you. But they're not going to take your side. They're going to keep it straight 100 with you.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good platonic relationships. But when you have those, quote, platonic relationships with alternative motives behind them, those are unhealthy. When that
yes,
other person
indeed.
Is trying to poison your mind against that person you've decided to be with or always on your side in anything that goes down, those are unhealthy. Or if your partner has to lie about that other relationship or sneak and hide it, then that's not good because then they're not being truthful and that's when the mistrust comes in.
Okay. Those of you that have just tuned in, we're talking about I Think He Loves Me or I Think She Loves Me, and Shirley Carter, who is my co-host. She's an entrepreneur and author, and her book, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Heart of a Man, is available on Amazon and also her website. So, Shirley, you can give out the information on how people can order your book. And those of you that have a question or comment, you press 1, and I will cue you in so that you can get that response you are looking for.
My book is available on my website, ShirleyMCarter.com, and it's Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. It is also available on Amazon. It's on Smashwords.com. These are ebooks on there. And you can go to my website and order the hard copy. I do autograph them and send them to you. So it's available for either download or you can get your hard copy. My website again is ShirleyMCarter.com. I'm also on Facebook with it, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man.
Thank you so much. So if you want to ask Shirley a question, press 1. And I know I'm getting emails and texts from people that want questions, but don't be shy. But I will continue asking the questions that you have interest in. Can you have more than one soulmate?
With the soulmate, I don't think you can. I'm a strong person that believes you have one soulmate. But that doesn't mean that you don't kiss a lot of frogs on the way thinking that they are your soulmate. Because when I'm a person that believes that that one soulmate, and that's that one person that God has made for you, how do you know you've met your soulmate? It's hard. Because those of us that has been around for a while, we know that we've met people and we've fell in love with them or thought we were in love with them, but the love wasn't the same or it wasn't reciprocated. I feel that a one person soulmate is someone that it's almost like a person that can complete your sentence. Someone that really is like your just totally your almost like your opposite, your other half. That person that, you know, you can meet in the medium on everything. Even if you have a disagreement, it's never that serious that you can't even work it out or that you would go to bed mad. It's someone that you can talk to about anything. You can laugh together. You can cry together. You can pray together. And most of all, you can love each other unconditionally. That's who I feel a soulmate is.
Okay, but your response was you can only have one soulmate?
Yes, I think you only have one true soulmate. You have other people that you're compatible with. You have other people that you can have so many likes and dislikes with. But God only made one person for you. Now, will we ever meet that soul person, that soulmate? I don't know. Some people do, some don't.
Now, Shirley Carter, me and you have this round every time. Because when you marry a person, you marry them because you don't want to share your life with anyone else, that you believe that the sun rises and sets on that individual, if you will, and that you jive, you mesh, someone you can talk to about anything, be with and not feel intimidated, where you can be transparent and open with that individual, a soulmate that knows your hurts, your pains, and really those of you that are tuning in to the show, listening in, you shouldn't be with anybody that you can't be true to. You shouldn't be with anyone that you're afraid to show your scars, to talk about what hurts, what doesn't hurt. Just be transparent, because if you're not open and honest and transparent in that relationship, then that's somebody you can't marry, because I believe that when you carry secrets into a marriage and hurts and pains and not talk about them or try and work it out, then it just, at the end of the day, causes issues in that relationship. Back to that soulmate issue. So when you get married, you're saying that people are getting married because they be in love, but they don't feel that they're soulmates. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that people get married, some people get married at all ages. When you're 20, 25 years old, you have no clue who your soulmate is. You're getting married on an emotion. Not necessarily. You don't even go into the soulmate part. Look, I've been married 4 times, and it was, and you know, I am very transparent about this. I've been married 4 times. My first husband, I married him because I was young. My mother had died when I was 18 years old, and I had 7 siblings under me that I had to help take care of. And my father was still living, but he got killed less than 2 years later by a car. Car hit him, a drunk driver hit him. And this man said to me, "You need help raising those children. I will help you." So was it love? No. I had 7 siblings. My baby brother was 3. My sister was pregnant when my mother got died. And her baby was 2 years old, and she was still in high school, and I was raising him. So here I had a man who was willing to marry me and help me take care of my siblings. So it was more of a sacrifice than love. I cared for him, but I had no idea what a soulmate was. I was too busy trying to be a mother to all those children. And I had someone who was willing to help me. I had older brothers, but they were married and had their own family. So I felt, as the oldest daughter, it was my responsibility to be a mother to these children. And he was willing to come in and help me. He said to me, "There's no man that's going to want you with all these children. You should be glad that I want you." I married him. It was a very abusive marriage. I got out of it. Now, the second guy that I married, I felt I loved him. But in that marriage, drugs came into the play. And he walked away because I got off drugs. He wanted to stay on them. I thought he was the man for me.
Did you at the time think he was the soulmate, though?
I didn't even know what a soulmate was. All I knew was that he was someone that was not marrying me because of children, and that he loved me for me and accepted my son that I had from my first marriage. We had a lot in common. We did a lot of things. I learned about soulmate as I got older. I had to be probably about 30 before I got more into the soulmate thing, because I was too busy marrying for love and someone that would help me take care of my siblings. So those were the first two marriages. Then I went into, what about me and my soulmate meeting up with someone that's going to match up with me? By that time, I had been divorced twice. And that's when I said, you're going to kiss a lot of frogs. And then I started dating another guy after him. We never got married, but we dated, and then we bought a home together. And that was when I started thinking about, this could be my soulmate. But it wasn't.
Okay.
So the older you get, the more you start to dissect things in your life, and you start separating from the feel good, from the mind, and then you start putting the heart and the mind together, and then you start thinking about that one person that God made for me. And that's when you get to know yourself, when you spend some time by yourself, not going from relationship to relationship, because that doesn't allow you the opportunity to really see who you are. Why do you keep picking the same people? I mean, and some of us still pick the same people, and get into it, be a different person, but the same old thing. And, unless we're true to ourselves and look at the facts and really be honest with ourselves and say, slow down, who am I? Do I like me? And that's when I tell people, even when I get into a relationship, when I tell them who I am, I said, don't try to figure me out. Because some days I don't even like myself. And that's being real. Get to know me and love me for me.
Shirley, because some days I can tear you apart myself.
But you can't help but love me because I'm direct. I'm a straight shooter.
Say that, Shirley.
I am who I am.
I have to remind you every now and then I am not afraid of you.
I think we have to remind each other of that. I ain't scared of you, Val Parker. But, I love you to death, And that's the joy of it. You're like my other me. You know what I'm saying? That we can talk about and we can complete our sentences. We sharpen each other. And that's what people look for in a mate. You look for that in a mate. Not someone that's going to agree with you on everything, but that's able to sharpen you and you sharpen him. But you're able to communicate about everything. That's where the soulmate comes in at. It's not someone that's going to agree with you on everything. We love everything, the same thing. No, I'm different and you're different, but we're able to come together and make it better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Rerun, I'm trying to word, because, when people send me messages, I'm trying to communicate it the way I think they're saying it. So when you said that you got married, because, they have women say, well, I'm staying with him because he loves me or because she loves me. And so basically that's what you did. You married because you thought they loved you. Not necessarily because you were in love.
The first one, I didn't think he married me because he loved me. It was more of a controlling thing. He wanted to marry me because he didn't want anyone else to have me. I didn't realize my own value at the time, because I'm a young girl, young lady coming into my womanhood without my mother. But my mother instilled a lot into me. And one of the things I found out later was that a lot of people were talking about, how did you get such a pretty girl, you know? But he didn't want me to know that that's what they were saying, so he felt that he could suppress that and control me and make me feel like I wasn't, then that gave him more power in the relationship. So it became a mind thing for him. And then it became physical when he saw that I started to get attention from other people. He couldn't control the anger inside of him. So his thing was to mess up my face. Because whenever he would hit me, it would always be in the face, and it was always vicious.
You know, what's up you with know? That? That's how my ex used to be. Everything was always the face. And I'm
the
like,
face.
That's all you got?
I mean, but if, you know, but he went to the extreme. When I say extreme, it wasn't so much hitting me, slapping me like that. It was like fists in the eye, chair in the face, a boot in the face. You know, something that could, you know, really destroy a face. Anything that he could bring to my face, that's what he wanted to do. And but
yes,
no matter what, all those hits in my face, all those hits in my face, even though I was laid out in ambulances, in the emergency room and all of that, God bless me that it didn't destroy my face.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the payback to him, that no matter what you did to my face, God made sure he healed it.
So why do you think a lot of individuals settle in relationships even though they aren't happy?
A lot of people settle because of loneliness. They sell it for convenience, whether it be financially or physically. There's a lot of hurting people in this world. And some people have the saying, at least I got somebody, because they feel a need to have someone in their life that even if they don't love them sometime, or something that they may do to make them feel love sometime. But it's not healthy to feel love sometimes. Either that person loves you or they don't. And if they can't respect you, it's hard to say that they love you. Because if you can't respect someone, where is the love? The love would die even if it's there, if you lose respect for someone. Love cannot live where there's no respect.
And so many times when we're in a relationship, we prioritize people that have actually made us options in their lives, that they don't need us, but they see that we're feeding off of them, that we need them. Not saying me, but I'm saying, you know, that opposite sex, whoever it is that you're attracted to, you kind of feed off of that, and it empowers them to treat you any kind of way because they see the weakness and the vulnerability of, oh, she needs me and she'll do anything I say, or he'll do anything I say to keep from losing me. And a lot of times we become trapped in situations where it winds up backfiring on us, and it actually makes our life shorter because we age a lot faster when we're not happy. And when you have to stress and worry about where an individual is every single minute, or if he doesn't call or she doesn't call, or if there's a gap in time and you have to worry about that person cheating on you, then you don't need to be with that individual. If you can't trust that person that you say you love, don't be with them.
That is so true. And then, you know, like I say, if there's no, you know, if there's no trust, there's no respect, the love can't live. It dies.
Absolutely.
And then you have, you know, you have to know when to let go. Because if it's not there, you can't force someone to love you. You can't. You know.
Okay,
and
I need you to break that down, Shirley, because, see, when you say you can't force someone to love it, I need you to break that down some more, because there are people listening in that are in relationships that are trying to pay their way there.
If you got to force someone, you can't force them to love you. A lot of people, I mean, not a lot. I have to say some people try to force the love. That, you know, I need you to do this. I need you to show. If they can't love you, you need to know the signs, first of all. A person can tell you they love you, but if they don't put any action behind those words, notice, let me give you some simple examples. If a person tells you they love you, but they lie to you with the quickness, they cheat on you, they make promises, then break them. When a person truly loves you, then that's a part of how they feel within them, and they're going to say it, and they're going to follow it up with action. But you can't say that you better love me because I'm with you. Oh, he loves me because I know he's still with me. No, baby, you may be an eye candy. You may be a front. You may be a convenience. He may love some of the things that you do for him or to him. Because when he loves you, he's going to respect you. And you're going to know he respects you. Because he's going to respect you and he's going to make sure everyone else respects you. There is a sense or aura around a man or a woman that when they love someone, they become protected of them. They're not only going to protect you emotionally, but they're going to also protect you physically. And the ones that can't afford it, going to protect you financially. You're not going to have to ask for it. A man or woman will put their money where their heart is at. If it ain't there, it ain't happening. And don't think that because he comes over and takes me here or she comes and do this for me, that she must love me. You may be a convenience.
Do you think that when you're in a relationship with someone that you should put time limits on it as far as marriage?
What do you mean time limits?
Like if you're in a relationship with someone, is there a certain length of time that you could be in a relationship with someone before you decide or feel that you should get married?
I feel like this, if marriage, some people don't want to ever get married. So if that is what you want in your life, marriage, that is something should be discussed when you go into your relationship. Some people feel like, okay, be in a relationship for a while and discuss it. When you laying things on the table, who you are and what you are, that one day I'm going to get married, and if that other person said, well, I ain't never going to get married, then you already know in the beginning that you're going into a relationship with someone that's never going to get married. But if you put it on the table with that person and they say, okay, they said, okay, I can understand that. And then you make sure that you know, okay, are you one of those people who will never get married again, or you don't know right now? Well, I don't know right now, but I tell you what, you better know soon. When I say soon, you don't need to 2 or 3 years to decide, oh, yeah, I'm going to get married again. No. That's 2 or 3 years I've spent with you that I could have been with someone else because I put myself out there and told you up front. I'm not that girl. I love the married life, and I will get married again. Now, if I get you in my life, then you're in the way of someone else who may want to step to that plate and get married. That means that I'm not going to be sitting waiting for you, but if you let me know that you're not the person that's going to get married again, and you never want to get married again, and I decide to spend a couple years with you, that's on me because you told me. But don't play that role like you are just to keep me around because you don't want no one else, because I'm going to be the one to let you know, and you need to step down, brother. Or let that sister know, you need to step back, baby, because I'm looking for a wife. If you're not wife material, you're not worth my time. I'm not going to be investing my time in you because I can't get that back. Same thing with the brother. If you're not a husband material, I cannot be investing my time in you because I can't get that back. There's a brother out there looking for a wife, and I could be her. But he can't step to the plate because you're here. But there are some people that will have you there and then still looking on the other side, and that's when some of these relationships go in those directions where, well, I dated him 2 years, and he met her and married her in 6 months. But, baby, did you tell him that you was a wife? That, you know, you're looking to get married too. You want the title, but can you fill the shoes?
Mm-hmm.
See, if I want a title, I'm going to fill those shoes. No. Is that person I'm with, can he fill them shoes to be my husband? If I start to see those signs and see them things, I'm going to step to him and let him know, we real, we grown. Is that what you want or not? Let me know. And let me decide if I want to continue this. Because I'm that type of person who will tell you, I can love you enough to leave you. Because I'm going to keep it real with me, and I want you to be true to yourself. I tell people that a lot. Be true to yourself. When you're true to yourself, then you can be true to someone else. But if you lie to yourself, what makes you think you can tell the truth to someone else? Don't lie to yourself. I tell people that start with yourself. Get to know you, but don't lie to yourself. Be real with yourself, then you can be real with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Shirley, tell individuals how they can get your book once again.
You can get my book, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man, on my website, which is ShirleyMCarter.com. It's on Facebook, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. It's on Amazon.com. It is also on Smashwords.com. Those are ebooks there.
You know, Candace Brushnell with Sex in the City, she said, man may have discovered fire, but women discovered how to play with it. And when I read that, I was like, you know what? That is the truth. You can start out something, but if you get a woman pissed off, she'll show you what a fire looks like.
Amen. That is so true.
And, you know, Shirley, this talk that we do, on the radio show every February, we started out with you, and then it just grows and grows, and then we have men that will be coming on and talking from their point of view, because one of the things that, like you said at the top of the show, that made Steve Harvey so engaging was the fact that he was a man telling women how to get their man. And so we're going to have some brothers on the show next week speaking out and speaking up so that they can answer some of the questions also that the women want to know regarding their relationships therein, because I tell you, when you think you've heard it all, there's always something fresh that comes out in a relationship, and you be like, why? And I be like, oh man, I wouldn't take that. But, you know, a lot of times when you spend a lot of time in a relationship, it's hard to get out. It's time to walk. It's hard to walk away. And when you've invested so much time with that individual, like you said, that promised, oh, yes, I want to get married, and then they break up with you because their eyes have always been wandering, but then they find that person and within months get married. And there you were dating for 7-8 years. That happened to a couple of friends of mine. And you wonder what happened. And we talked about this last year, talking about that window.
Yeah. That window. And, you know, there's a window out there that every person gets in that window. And that window is that point in time in their life when they've done an assessment of their life and they've decided that they no longer want to be single, they no longer want to date from woman to woman, and they start taking a real serious look at they're not getting older, and they want to spend the rest of their life with someone and grow old together. And so they assess the person that's in their life, and a lot of time they look at, I've been here 7, 8 years, and it's not going anywhere. And then they run into someone else and they feel that spark is there, or they just broken off that relationship they're in, and they get married. That window is so serious in so many people's lives, men and women. Some women have said they're not going to get married, but once they get in that window and that feeling, it's something like a fulfillment. I don't care if you're 25 or if you're 55, 60, 70 years old. I know some 75-year-old got married. They got in the window. And inside that window, they decided they did not want to live the rest of their lives alone. Even though they're dating or whatever, but it's nothing like having someone to wake up to every single morning and know that there's a solid commitment there. That solid commitment more than saying, well, it's just you and I. No, it's not. Unless they're willing to make that full commitment. A perfect example of that was Tina Turner when she married the guy in her life. They had been dating for, 25, 30 years? And he said to her, I want to die being your husband. And they've been together 30 years. But I want you to be my wife, not my living girlfriend. I want it permanent. Because you would think twice, three times, before you walk out. But when you're just a live-in or just a committed relationship, you're walking a heartbeat. Because you really not committed. There's nothing holding you
here. Don't have vested. Right.
You're not vested. There's nothing vested. That's why I would tell a guy in a heartbeat, I'm not signing on as a lifetime girlfriend. That is not my motto. Yeah, I've been married 4 times, but I love the married life. I love being vested in my relationship. And if a man can't handle that, he needs to keep it moving.
Awesome. This has been part one of I Think He or She Loves Me, and we'll be continuing next Tuesday at Hot Topics from the Soul. So tell your friends and family members, your girlfriends, boyfriends to tune in to Hot Topics from the Soul when we'll have some men speaking next week to answer some of the questions on I Think He or She Loves Me. Thank you so much, Shirley, for being my co-host. And again, happy birthday. And congrats on your bestseller, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Heart of a Man. Until next Tuesday, remember that love affects our past, our present, and our future. Love is an emotion given to us from God, and it should never, ever hurt. Good night.
Good night.